Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf. Nedarim Ayin Beis, we are holding on top of the Amud Bart. Perhaps let's just go back to Ayin Aleph Amud Beis, the beginning of the Sugya. We had a question, Iboilhu, four lines from the top of the Amud, a question which the Gemara will attempt to resolve today. Okay, so back to Iboilhu. We know that a fellow who is a Arus means he engaged an Isha, he was Mekadosh an Isha, he's a Chas. He has the ability to either confirm her nether by being Mekayim it, or be Mefer the nether, canceling it, disrupting it. He can only do so on the day of, the day that he hears about the nether, the day that he becomes aware of the nether. So if he makes hakama, the nether stands and will stand unless he goes and undoes the hakama by going to a chacham. It's like hatoras nedarim, which we discussed the other day. Otherwise, the nether stands for all time. What if he was just passive? He ignored the nether. He hears the nether, does not respond. What happens now? So he didn't cancel the nether by doing hafara, he didn't confirm the nether by being mekayim, he was just passive, deliberating it, thinking it over. What happens then? He has until the end of the day. The question is like this. Iboilu, the Bnei HaYeshiva wanted to know. What about Gerushin? He divorces her. By divorcing her, he's pretty much resigning to the fact that this nether will stand, because after Gerushin, he no longer has access to her nedarim. So how do we treat Gerushin? Kishtiko damya? Oika hakama damya? Shall we say, it's tantamount to expressing approval at the nether. Because he's pretty much saying, look, I have no issues with this nether. In fact, I'm just divorcing you and I'm not really interfering. Let it stand. So we treat it as a hakama. Or shall we say kishtiko damya? It's just a passive reaction. He didn't seem to be too concerned, but you can't treat it like a hakama. In which case, theoretically, he would have until the end of the day. Problem is, he already divorced her. So what's the nafkamina? Lamai nafkamina? Would there be any difference whether we treat it like a hakama, in which case it's confirmed right now, or like a shtika, in which case it sort of needs to wait until the end of the day when time's up, right? Because he only has the ability to interfere on the day of. So if he's shoysek, it's not hafara, it's not hakama. He's mulling it over, thinking about it. So until the day is up, the nether is still sort of in limbo, still pending, and once the day is over, the nether becomes confirmed. So the question is, again, what is Gerushin? Divorcing her in the middle of this day is considered Hakama or Ashtika? Manafkamina, what difference would there be? Kigoyin denosha nodra v'shama balo v'gerusha. She made a nether, her husband hears, divorces her, v'ahadra b'yoymei, and takes her back on that same day. He re-engages her. So, I amar mar kishtika dami, if you treat the gerushin like silence, just a passive reaction, nor this, nor that, matzi mefer, so now when he has her back, he can once again jump in and do the hafara, because he was never mekayim the nether, he was just ignoring it. Now he can be mefer. The amar mar kishtika dami, but if the gerushin is treated like a confirmation, Lay motzi mefer, it's too late. Even if he retakes her, he cannot interfere. Toshma, let's bring a raya one way or the other. Emosai amro. This is a brayso we had back on Daf Samaches. We were learned about the concept of nisreikna. Transferring, emptying, passing over. The Rafar says it's like, you know, pouring a jug of, you know, some wine from one jug to the other. Nisreikna. A transfer of power, which goes from husband to father. Typically, father and husband can join together for hafaras nedarim on a na'ara hamurasa. What if the chasen suddenly passes away? The halacha is that unless he was actually mekayim the nedar, after which there's no no more hope. You can the father can no longer interfere. But if he was not mekayim the nether, if husband did either hafara or nothing, and then he left the sin, he passed away. The halacha is nisreikna. His power gets transferred. Rishus labal. His rishus gets passed on to the father. Nisreikna rishus la'av. A mosai amru mesabal nisreikna rishus la'av. When do we apply this halacha of nisreikna? If the husband leaves the scene, the schus of hafaros and darim reverts back to the father only. Bizman shalei shama habal. It applies in either one of the following three cases. Either the husband never heard about the nether, he was never aware of the nether before he passed away. Oy shama vehefer, or he heard but he was mefer. Oy shama veshasak umeis bebeyim, or he became aware of the nether, he ignored it, and passed away on that same day, before the day was up, in which case there is no hakama on his part, because he passed away before he had a chance to do anything. So in any one of these three examples, after husband's passing, what happens? Father takes over. And he has exclusive rights, he has total control over the nether. As opposed to cases we're going to see soon in the Seif of the Braisa, where the husband put a stamp of approval on the nether, in which case it's too late. Once he approves it, even if he disappears, father can no longer be made for the nether. Okay, but in the Reisha of the Braisa, we have three examples of non-approval, either outright disapproval or just passively ignoring the nether or something like that. In which case, no harm was yet done from the husband's direction. In which case, when he passes away, father just takes over. Okay, so we have the first part of the braisa, and we're going to use that as a riot to our discussion, which was, how do we treat divorce? Is it like hakama or just like shtika? Is it like a positive reaction or just like a neutral reaction? Now, one of these three examples here did not mention divorce, right? This wasn't on the list of neutral responses. V'amr s'gerushin k'shtika damu. If we shall say, then in fact, divorce is tantamount to just silence. It's a neutral reaction to the nether. It's not considered hakama. Well, if that's the case, why don't we have it on the list of examples? Listen, nami yoshama v'girish. Why wouldn't the Braisa mention that on our list of examples as well? Husband heard the nether, did nothing, divorced her. We shall say, well, at this point, father just assumes total right, total control, and can mefer the nether on his own. Because gerushin is not like a hakama, it's just shtika. Midlitani hachi, the fact that the Braisa did not mention gerushin as a possible option, as a possible scenario, shmamino gerushin kakama damu. Wouldn't that prove that gerushin in fact is treated like an act of approval, because he's showing disinterest in getting involved, he's just letting it stand. It's treated like an affirmation of the nether. In which case, once that happens, father can no longer be mefer. So is that a raya? Says the Gemara, Emo Seifa. If that's true, let's proceed to the second part of the braisa, which gives us an opposing list, a list of cases where husband did do a kiyum. In which case, even if he leaves the scene, father can no longer control the nether. He doesn't have full rights to the nether. So the Braisa cites two examples. Avalim shama v'kiyim, but if husband heard the nether and was makayim the nether. Oy, or shama v'shasak umeis b'yam shel achrav. Or heard about the nether and remained silent until the next day. So he allowed the day to pass without reaction. Both these cases, ein yachal lahafer. Even if he passes away, a father can no longer to Afaras Nedarim, because there was a Hakama, either an outright approval or a tacit approval. Now, the Amras Gerushin Kakama Domu, if indeed your diuk from the Eresha is correct, that Gerushin is treated like Hakama, listeni, Nami Yoyishama V'Giresh. And the Brisa and the Seifa, when looking for cases of Hakama, we could have cited this as a possible example as well. Husband hurt and divorced, was just treated like Hakama. In which case, father's out of business. Element of like Tani Hach. So let's assume the fact that the Brisa did not cite this as an example of Hakama, Shmamino Gerushin, Keshtika Damu. In fact, we'll see from here that Gerushin is not treated like a Hakama, rather, it's just like a neutral response. So basically, we have conflicting implications, conflicting diyukim. Right? The Brisa has two parts. Part one contains three examples of passivity or disruption on account of the husband. The Brisa does not mention Gerushin as an example. We assume it's because Gerushin is like Hakama. Well, that leads us to the next question, because in the Seifa we have examples of Hakama, and we don't mention Gerushin. Says the Gemara, you're right, we have no way of figuring out which way to go. Apparently this Brisa will not help us out much. It will not prove anything one way or the other regarding the status of Gerushin. Because Eresha Dafka, if we'll focus on the first part of the Brisa and consider that to be an accurate depiction of the Gerushin experience, meaning the fact that the Resha, when giving us examples of non-Hakama, omits Gerushin as a possible example of a non-Hakama. If we assume that indicates that Gerushin is Hakama, that's why it was left out. Nosa Seifa Mishum Resha. So then the question would be, why wouldn't the Brisa in the second part, when listing examples of Hakama, list Gerushin as well? Because, you know, Mishum Resha, because we're just trying to find matching examples, matching cases. You know, all the cases that the Brisa mentions, you know, have two sides to them. He was quiet and he died on that day. That's the Resha. He was quiet and died the next day. That was the Seifa. So we try to find, you know, matching examples. And this example of Gerushin doesn't really have two scenarios. It's either yes or no. So the Brisa did not want to mention it in the Seifa, even though perhaps it is considered like a Kiyum and would perfectly fit into the second part of the Brisa discussing cases of Kiyum, but we just left it out because it wasn't going to be mentioned in the Resha. So we just left it out in the Seifa. We're trying to find, you know, matching examples. That's one possibility. So in fact, the Gerushin is Hakama. Or we can take a different route. Seifa Dafka. If in fact the second part of the Brisa is the Dafka, is accurate, is going to be the true depiction of how to treat Gerushin, meaning the Seifa, which presents a list of Hakama situations and omits Gerushin as a possible Hakama situation, perhaps indicating to us that Hakama is not, that Gerushin is not treated as Hakama, if in fact that inference is true, then the question is why in the Resha, when listing examples of non-Hakama, did we not include Gerushin? Well, again, because it doesn't match with the Seifa. Nosav Resha Mishum Seifa. So in the Resha, we ignore that case, even though it does belong in the Resha, amongst the examples of non-Hakama. But since it wasn't mentioned in the Seifa, so it's not going to be a parallel example, therefore we left it out. Bottom line is, we can not really infer anything from all these omissions regarding the status of Gerushin. Toshma, here comes another raya. We had a mission yesterday which said that Nadra Avihi Arusa, an Isha who was an Arusa, made a nether, Vinis Garsha, gets divorced, Vinis Arsa Babayim, gets re-engaged on that day, Afilu Lameya, even if it happened 100 times over to 100 men, Aviyo Ubalo Achrin Mefirin Dorea. So the current husband will join forces with her father to do hafaras nedarim. The question is, the arus heard about the nether and divorced her. Shma mino gerushin kishtika damu. Wouldn't this prove that gerushin is not hakama? Otherwise, the door is shut. The fact that the brisa still allows her to have a faras nedarim in the case that gerushin is not considered a kiyum. Rather, it's kishtika damu. It's just like a neutral, passive response. Dika kama damu. Because otherwise, if we shall treat the first husband's gerushin as though he was mekim, mi matzi mefer arus achrein. How can the last arus, the current husband, do hafara to that nether which was already confirmed by the first husband? Mi matzi mefer arus achrein nidrei daokim arus rishon. How could he be mefer a nether which was established by the first arus? So perhaps it would seem from here that gerushin is not akama, rather it's like a shtika. It's just a passive response, in which case the next fellow could come along and address it. Is that a raya? Not necessarily. Says the Gemara, Achavah Mayaskinan, you know, perhaps we're speaking about a case where the first husband never heard about the nether. And therefore, his gerushin is not a hakama. Hakama for what? He wasn't even aware of the nether. Achavah Mayaskinan, Bishalei Shama Arus Rishon. First husband never heard about the nether. And certainly in that case, his gerushin inflicts no harm. Asks the Gemara, if that's the case, why does the Mishnah stress that all this happened on the same day? Divorce, remarriage, divorce, re-engage on the same day. If it happens to be that the husband never heard about the nether, why are we limited to today? Whenever he'll hear about the nether, even a year later, that becomes the Yom Shamay. So why does it have to all take place on the day of the nether? Oh, says the Gemara, 1 second. True, the husband didn't hear of the nether. K'shaloi shama aros, that's true. But v'shama ha'av, the father certainly knew about the nether today on Sunday. And that's why it all has to take place on the same day. Because the father's mandate and ability to interfere with the nether expires at sundown. The boy bayayim hu demotzi mefer. Father can only interfere on that day, the day of. Aval mekan ve'elach lemotzi mefer, but past that day, he no longer has the ability to interfere. And that's why it all had to take place on that same day. But perhaps the Arus was not really privy to the details. He wasn't aware of the nether. In which case, we can truly understand that even if he divorces her, and we shall argue that divorce is tantamount to hakama, but he never heard about the nether, so his gerushin certainly is not a hakama. So bottom line is, we tried to bring a raya, which was not successful. Tashma, here comes another raya. We have a Gemara later on, of Petes, which says like this. Nodra baybayim. So we're assuming that we have an engaged couple, a chasen v'kala, and she makes a nether, you know, today. Girsha v'echzira baybayim. He divorces her and takes her back on that same day. So again, we're speaking about she was engaged and she's re-engaged. She's a nara hamorasa. Ein yachal lahafer. Halacha is, it's too late. He can no longer do hafara. Shema mino, this proves our point. That gerushin, that the divorce process, kakama damu, is treated like hakama. It's too late. He confirmed the nether. By the mere fact that he divorced her, indicating that he's uninterested in interfering. Is that a raya? Is that the reason why he can no longer do hafara? Amri, the Bnei HaYeshiva responded, not necessarily. You thought we were speaking about an engaged couple. No, we're speaking about a married couple. Hocha b'nesua askina. Either she was already married to him, or he divorced her and remarried. Whatever it is, we're speaking that there was marriage in the picture. And of course, in that case, husband can now no longer access pre-existing nadarim, meaning nadarim which she brings in to the second marriage. The reason why the new husband can't be mefer That's because Mishum de Ein HaBaal Mefer Bekoidmin. Because a husband can never do hafara to a nether which predated his marriage. The only way a husband can do so is if there's a father on the scene. But that only works if she's merely engaged to him, so the father is still sort of in control. He's still a player. He's still a factor to reckon with. So in that case, we learned many times, the husband, the chassan, can join forces with the father who was here all along, who never lost any rights to her nedarim. She was his since her days of singlehood, right? So the father is an active player. Likewise, the chassan, who's a newcomer, can latch onto the father and address those nedarim which perhaps even predated his engagement to this isha. But once she's now married, so let's say she was engaged, she made a neder, he divorced her. Now he retook her and married her. Now the father's off the scene. Because once she's married, she's out of his rishus. The husband is the only player, the only one around. The only one with access to her nedarim, the only one who's controlling her, so to speak. So he cannot address nedarim that predated his marriage. So that's the reason for this halacha. Nothing to do with the fact that his gerushin is treated like hakama. It's totally unrelated to that point. And the Ran points out that likewise, if she was married to him and then he divorced her, now he just re-engaged her. Likewise, he's not going to be able to do afaras nedarim because. Once he had been married to her, the father was off the scene, and he can only do the hafara together with the father. So bottom line is, that's the reason for the halacha, nothing to do with gerushin being an hakama or not. So we had a shayla, how to treat gerushin? Is it like an expression of consent, or is it just a passive, neutral response? In which case, you still have a chance till the end of the day to address the nether. We attempted some rayas, and we were not really... conclusive on the results. The Ran brings lenient halacha. Halacha l'maisa, Ramban says, we go l'chumra, we treat gerushin as hakama, and once he divorces her, even if he retakes her on that same day, it's over. Because he was already mekai in the nether. And the Rashba says he says, no, we look at the gerushin as merely mashtika, in which case, you would still be able to do the hafara if it's still the same day. Okay, let's go on to the next mission. Derech Talmid HaChachamim. It is the way of Talmid HaChachamim who are concerned about their daughter's involvement with nedarim. They want to ensure that she's free of nedarim. That's not the way of a true, Oyved Hashem. We had this discussion back in Daf Tes. Ksherim, don't make nedarim. That's not the way of, that pleases Hashem. So, the derech of Talmid HaChachamim was that Ad Shelo Yhoiso Bitoy Yoytze Me'etzli. A father would expect a daughter to, eventually leave the home and marry. So before she does that, for instance, let's say she's now a Nara Hamurasa, so before she actually gets married, Oymelah, he tells her as follows. Kol Nedarim, Shenadar B'tzich Beis, all the Nedarim that you had made, in my home, Harihin Meforan, I'm right now nullifying them. So he's making a general, hafara for all nedarim, all possible nedarim that she may have with her. V'chein HaBaal, likewise the husband. Ad sh'lo yitakanes l'rishusay, before his marriage to her, Oymelah, he tells her the same thing, kol nedarim shenadart, ad sh'lo yitakanes l'rishusay, all your nedarim that you have with you, as you're about to marry me, harihein mefaren, I want them to be cancelled. So now he's sort of connecting with the father's hafara, both together. The nether would be cancelled. Why is he doing it at this point? because once she marries him, and her father is no longer, a factor, husband as well can no longer do the hafara, because, as we explained before, husband can only do hafara either on a daran which were done under his watch after marriage, and likewise, while she's still engaged to him and there's a father around, he can join forces with father and address previous nadarim as well. So that's why they take all these precautions and they do that far before marriage to address any possible nadarim. So once the father and the husband do that together, at this point they've addressed everything, and now she comes into the marriage with a clean slate. Here comes an interesting shiloh. Boi Rami Bar Chama, which isn't really directly connected to the discussion in the Mishnah, but we're going to try to bring a raya from the Mishnah to this shaila. Typically, a husband hears the nether, and he's either Mekayim or Mefer. What if he has no idea that she made a nether? He's just taking an extra, extra step, extra precaution. Baal ma'u sheyofer b'lo yishmiya. He never heard her making a nether. Totally unaware of any nadarim, he's just taking a chance. He says, look, Mrs., just in case you made a nether, I want to apply hafara. Can you do that? Mao sheyefer sheyofer b'lo yishmiya. Why would you say shmiya is needed? Because the pasuk says so. V'shama isha. Her husband will hear the nether. That gives him the ability to confirm or cancel. Dafkahu. Is that to be learned literally? He has to hear and he has to know. Oy lav dafkahu. Or perhaps not necessarily so. It's just your typical situation that he hears and he's mefer. But perhaps even if he's not reacting to a specific piece of information, he's just initiating a hafara and any possible net that she has with her. Perhaps that works as well. Amarava Toshma. Arrive from our Mishnah. Derech Tamid HaChacham. Ad Shalayotza Spita Me'etzle. Right? That's the Mishnah we just learned. The Talmud Chacham father takes that extra precaution before she leaves his rishos. Emrelah, he tells her, kol nadarim shenadar tech besi, any nadarim that you have, harayin mefar, I'm applying hafara. Asks the Gemara, father's totally in the dark. He's just doing guesswork here. V'lo yishama, he never heard of her, a nadar. If you have a nadar, I'm doing hafara. Apparently, knowing with definitiveness is not a prerequisite. V'lo yishama. Answers the Gemara, no. L'chi shama hu demefer. You're right. He's actually only going to do the hafara when he knows about it, when he gets word about the nether. Well, then what's the point of making this declaration? M'kein ki l'shama l'omalei l'meimar. Well, at this point, he has no knowledge about a nether. Why is he making this announcement? Hakamashmon, the Mishnah here is informing us that urchi de turbim rabbanon l'haduri. It is the derech of a Talmud Chacham who is extra careful and conscientious about his daughter's spiritual well-being to seek her attention, to try to engage her in conversation. And this sort of triggers a conversation regarding this topic. Oh, nedar, yeah. Actually, I do have a nedar, on my records, or eventually, if she does make a nether, he'll come back. She'll come back to him. So the point is that it's going to trigger a conversation, a discussion, which will bring up any possible past nedarim. And at which point, when he is actually informed of that nether, he will then apply a proper afara. But realistically speaking, this discussion, the Mishnah, doesn't really do anything. It's just a means to trigger a conversation. Tashma misefa, the same back and forth. Question and answer will apply to the sefer with the husband. V'chein abal, the same thing with the husband. Ashley tarkanz l'rushusa, before she marries, Emilei tells her, etc., etc. And the question is, how will he do that if he had no shmiya? Achanami de Emilei kishaman, the same idea. Basically, he's triggering a conversation, in which case she'll inform him, which will allow him to make the hafara. Tashma, here comes another raya, which is based on a Mishnah daf Ayin Hei. Haim Eliyashtay turns to his wife. Kol nadarim shetaduri, anche avim makim pleni, hariyein kayamin. Look, I'm leaving town. I want all the nadarim which you will make, from when I leave until I come back, to be kayam. I want to confirm those nadarim in advance. Does that work? No. Lo yamar klum. You cannot do hakama in advance. What about harehin mufarin? All your future nedarim will be cancelled. Does that work in advance? Rabbi Elazar Omer mufar. Yes, it works. Asks the Gemara. V'lo yishama. What do you mean? Perhaps you can do it ahead of time, but the problem is, you don't have the facts. You don't have the shmiya. Hachanami, here as well, says the Gemara. The Amal, he's going to tell like this. L'chi shamano. I'm not intending on having the hafara now be activated against any future possible nadarm. What he's saying is like this. The hafara now will sort of be a pending arrow being shot at any nadarm, so that when I hear about those nadarim, when I become aware of them, l'chi shamana, which will enable me to do either hakama or hafara, I want today's hafara to be applied then. Asks the Gemara, well, okay, he's going to have to wait for then anyway, so what's the point of doing hafara now ahead of time? What's the point of making hafara today if he has to wait until he receives word about the nadir? When he hears, let him do the hafara then. Answers the Gemara, because he's thinking, he might be busy. Maybe I'll be sidetracked and distracted at that point. I'll be busy, so I want to make the hafara now on account of any nether that I will become aware of in the future. So it's not like he's doing the hafara on any nether which he doesn't even know about. No, actually it's going to be chal on a nether which he will know about. Toshma, here comes another raya. Hayimel apetropis. So a husband turns to this apetropis, an agent, a caretaker, a shliach. And he says, look, I want you to address my wife's nedarim on my behalf. Can you do that? Kol nedarim shenoderes ishti mikan v'atcha'ovim mokemplaini. Regarding all the nedarim that my wife may possibly make, starting from when I leave town until I come back. Hafer, I want you to do the hafer. Okay? And in fact, the apotropos did as instructed. He did the afar. Yochol yuhu mufarin. Perhaps this system works. The nedarim are now canceled by way of this shaliach. No, it's a personal experience. You can't give it over to a shaliach. Talmud Levi, the pasuk says, Yisha yekimenu, Yisha yefeirenu. Only her husband has the ability to be mekayim or to be mefer. You can't give it over to a third party. Divrei Rabbi Yoshiya. Amar Rabbi Yonasan, why not? Why is this different than any other halacha in the Torah? Motzinim chalat Torah kula. We find throughout the Torah, shluchay shaladim kamois. You send somebody to do a truma for you, a maaser, etc. It works. A shlich of a person is treated like the person himself. Okay, so that's an interesting discussion. Whether you can affect this process through a third party, or does it have to be personally? Fine. Pertaining to our discussion, however, says the Gemara, "Vafil Rabbi Yishe l'ka'amar." Even Rabbi Yishe, who disallows this system, l'ka'amar, his concern is only because of that pasuk. Elam shum degzeres hakasavu, right? The pasuk of Yishe yikemenu, Yishe yifereru. It is to be done personally by the husband. But in terms of timing, in terms of doing it in advance, it doesn't seem like anybody has an issue with that. Aval the kuliyama all seem to agree that shluche shaladim kemaisai. If not for this miut, the special pasuk, you can apply, you can appoint a shliach to do the hafara for you, even though it's in advance of the nether. Now, let's think about it. Can a person make a shliach to accomplish something that he himself cannot do? Of course not. I can only empower you to effect a process which I myself have the koyach to do. Now, if I can't do hafara in advance, how can I allow you to do it? How can I enable and empower you to do it? The husband never heard of this nether, which has yet to happen. It's all being done in advance. So how can I ask a shliach to do it for me? Perhaps this is a riot, our question. That you can be made for something which you haven't heard. Says the Gemara, no. Hachanami here as well, the Amalei, that was speaking, that the husband asks the shliach, l'chi shamana mefer lo. I want you, listen to this, I want you to make a hafara today, And the afara will only be chal, will only be applied to one eye. The husband will actually hear those nedarim. And since I myself, the husband myself, can do that, right? This is, you know, Reb Lezer Shita, that you can, you know, activate hafara ahead of time. So true, I have to actually eventually hear the nether for that, you know, previous hafara to come and cancel that nether. It's true. It's not going to actually be activated as a hafara until I actually hear the nether, perhaps. Because perhaps hearing the nether is a precondition to hafara being applied. Right? Let's assume. Right? But that's exactly what he's saying. He's saying, Mr. Shliach, I want you please to make a hafara now, so that later on when I get word about my wife's nether, I want your hafara to be applied then. So you have all components in place. Hafara can be expressed ahead of time, but on condition that eventually the husband hears the nether. He shomea the nether. And now the nether is eligible for hafara. In which case that original hafara will come now and cancel the nether. So perhaps shmia is necessary. The amrli chishamana mefala. I want your hafara, what you're saying now, to be applied eventually to that nether when I hear it. Ask the Gemara 1 second. So what's the point? L'chisham aleferla. So if the husband is going to be hearing about the nether, let him do that for her then. Savar dilma matridni. He's thinking, okay, maybe I'm going to be busy and I'm not going to get around to doing the nether. And therefore, I want you to do it. Ask the Ran. So why doesn't the husband just do this himself? Anyways, he's doing it ahead of time. You're going to be busy then? Okay. I understand you're going to be on the road and maybe you're not going to get around to doing the hafara when you actually hear the nether. So you're doing it in advance. So you're asking the shliach to do it for you? Just do it yourself. Get up and say, look, I'm declaring any nether in the future will be batal. And then at the end of the day, when you're on the road and you hear about the nether, the hafara is chal then. So the Ran says, there's an advantage to appointing a shliach. Listen to this. Because just in case he changes his mind. You know, if the husband himself makes the hafara in advance, that's it. He's just activated a process, which is just going to be ongoing. Automatically annul any nedarim that she makes. But if he asks somebody else to do it for him, shlichus, it's within the husband's ability to cancel that appointment whenever he wants. Tomorrow, the next day, a week down the line, he can turn around and say, look, Mr. Shliach, you know what? Let's just cancel our deal. In which case, the hafara is non-existent. If I, the husband, make the hafara for all time, that's it. I can't retract that hafara. But if I asked you to make the hafara on my behalf, I can always come back to you and say, you know what? It's over. Deal's over. Let's cut. So that's the advantage to having an apotropos involved. Interesting twist from the Ran. So bottom line is, we had two questions today, both left unresolved at the moment. A husband can either do hafara or hakama. What if he divorces, showing sort of disinterest in getting involved? Is that just a shtika? In which case, if he retakes her on that same day, he can still access that nether? Or is it like a hakama, which solidifies the nether for all time? We leave it unresolved. After attempting a couple of rayas, then we had another mishnah, that the father, the husband, will make this declaration regarding any possible nedarim. And that led us to the question of whether a husband, or for that matter, a father, can they actually do hafara even without any concrete knowledge of a nether? Do we need shmia or not? We tried to bring a few rayas, which up until this point did not really prove one way or the other. All the best to you and much, much hatzlacha.